Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot. And also, at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The highlight of this guillotine season, after you die, you can't like see the league, and all you can see is you can view the corpse of your team, and that is the term in guillotine. Yeah. You view the corpse. Yeah, but here's the funny thing: is that so? My team's name is Naomi Watts. I just think it's stupid because she's Australian.
She is Australian. Well, she's an Australian superstar, much like yourself.
But because my team name is Naomi Watts, click a button to say view Naomi Watts's corpse.
Right.
Like, that's very strange.
Is that the browser history?
And yeah, we do not want that to happen.
No.
Because
no.
We are a pro Naomi Watts show.
Couldn't be
more always
so.
Have been.
Fantasy Football Happy Hour with Matthew Berry, served by Applebee's.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour. Yes, it is Love Hate Day. We somehow made it. I'm Connor Rogers alongside Matthew Berry and Jay Croucher, a supporter of Naomi Watts.
Supporter of Juan Soto. Great day for the New York Yankees yesterday, Connor. I know you're happy to see that,
yep.
As is Matthew, who's been very plugged into baseball ever since Sean Figgins and Garrett Anderson retired.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, big year coming from Tim Salmon. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, exactly. So here's my question. So I'm surprised that you are a Yankees fan, and here's why. Because they're not an obscure WNBA team. This is who you normally like.
Not yet.
Yeah, like I feel like...
They're a household franchise.
I feel like you were a Mets fan, and then all of a sudden they get Juan Soto, and now all of a sudden you go out and buy a brand new Yankees jersey.
That's not true. That's not true at all. I've been a diehard, lifelong Yankees fan since 2022 when Aaron Judge made his run for Roger Maris's record. So I'm all in Yankees.
That's true.
It also fits with my kind of villain.
That was the right choice.
I really
Evil
like
Empire.
So in Australia, my football team is the Collingwood Magpies,
and they're sure,
like,
of course,
they're like the Yankees if the Yankees got to the World Series but lost Game 7 every single time. But the Magpies are the most hated team in the country. It just makes it all the sweeter when they win because everyone's against you. So I'm all in for the Yankees.
So I feel like, okay, so you're a Yankees fan. I feel like you should also be like a fan of like the Cowboys,
Lakers.
Yeah. Who are like the most hated?
My other allegiances are up for, they're open for sale.
I'm just trying to think, who are the most
hated?
I'm
not in on the Jets anymore.
Who are the most hated in each sport? Like, so the Yankees are the most hated.
Cowboys.
I think the Cowboys are the most hated in the NFL. Lakers probably in basketball.
Lakers are the one who get grouped in that. The Celtics are pretty hated these
days. Yeah, I think people hate the Celtics too, but I feel like it's more about the Celtics fan base than it is necessarily the Celtics as an organization.
Yeah, the Lakers, they're the front runners.
Right,
Lakers, Cowboys, Yankees.
Right, exactly. They just reload. They go get Kobe, they get Shaq, they get Anthony Davis, they get LeBron, right.
Yeah. The funny thing is there's no hated hockey team because it just doesn't.
It's not very common.
No.
There's no dynasties recently
in
hockey.
No one hates the Rangers, really.
You'd be surprised. As a diehard Rangers fan, a lot of people
do. What do you think is who's the college team? This is the big one. Who's the college team that you think's hated the most? I have a couple of nominees off the top of my head.
I think Alabama.
I was going to say Michigan.
I was going to say Michigan.
People hate Michigan.
People and Ohio State.
Right.
I feel like they hate Ohio State. They hate Michigan. They hate Alabama. I think for a long time they hated Texas, and then Texas was bad for so long that no one cared. Now they're good again for 1 year, but whatever. But I feel like Bama, Michigan, and Ohio State are sort of...
Well, for me, it's Ohio State because I had them at 40-1 to win the national title last year, and Noah Ruggles hooked his 50-yarder left at the buzzer. So for me, it's Ohio State.
Ruggles.
Yeah.
All-time
kicker. It's a little bit,
name.
And again, it goes back sort of, again, all the Ohio State with a capital.
Very
it's a little, it's a very, it's a, so yeah, 100%.
Yep.
And I'm a fan of the Lakers, but I came by it honestly. Like when I lived in LA, I was a season ticket holder for like over 15 years. Like back when Randy Fund was the head coach and Del Harris and Vlade Divac was there. Right.
Fair.
Yeah. Well before Shaq and Kobe showed up, like I was out there rooting out for, you know, Vlade Divac.
That's approved.
Cedric Ceballos and Eddie Jones, Nick Van Exel, you know what I mean? Like back in the day, like that's right when I graduated college. So, so I come by it honestly. And okay, so you're a Yankees fan. You get one hated team you're allowed to be a fan of.
Yeah, I think. Me personally.
Yeah, I'm just allowed.
I don't want one.
Okay, it's no. fine.
I mean, the Rangers are hated. I'll say that.
All right.
So that's all I got.
The little brother teams, though.
That's it. Mets, Jets. Yeah. The Knicks were just bad forever.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
they are never the little brother
in
New
York. No, they are not. No, they would be the Brooklyn Nets.
The Nets barely have their
Brooklyn
own arena.
Brooklyn Nets aren't even a little brother. They're not related.
They're just not.
There's no blood relation, though.
Is what they are.
I will tell you this, and then we can move on. And I don't want to get into a whole thing, so I'm not going to say. There is somebody in the fantasy sports industry that is well known for being a Yankees fan, Lakers fan, and Cowboys fan. I swear to God, like that's their that's the three teams they root for very
Can't
publicly.
It.
It's a whole
tough look. Yep. Hate that.
hate that.
Hate that. Love it. Love hate that.
That person might be a Brad, Dad, and a Chad, by the way, which is who drinks free today. Taylor Swift, America's sweetheart, throwing them all under the bus last night. Dads, Brads, and Chads. She doesn't care if any of them are angry. I'm a dad, and I feel like, here you go. This is Taylor Swift to Time Magazine. She was named Person of the Year, which, by the way, she should have been. She's absolutely Person of the Year. And she says, quote, I'm just there to support Travis. She's talking about being shown on NFL games. Quote, I'm just there to support Travis. I have no awareness of it if I'm being shown too much and pissing off a few dads, Brads, and Chads. Speaking as a dad, you don't piss me off. Like, I have no issue. It's not her fault. I'm a Swiftie. I've admitted that. I'm completely admitting that. But, by the way, how many fantasy football team names next year will be dads, Brads, and Chads?
Yeah, that's a lot.
In our league, how many... Vegemite team names that we have?
Three or four.
Yeah. It's too Kangaroos many. Too many and Vegemite. It'll be a lot of dad's breads.
A lot of Taylor Swift
content. I'll just say this, and then we can move on. I'm a dad. You're a dad.
I am a dad.
You're kind of a Chad.
Wow. I should walk off this set. Steven is shivering in the back right now.
We had dinner the other night, and the biggest revelation that came out was that Connor used to wear earrings.
I did.
That is true. Yes. I don't know if that was the biggest revelation that came out that night.
It was in the top
night.
Six or seven.
It was on the Mount Rushmore.
It was the
revelation.
Can we bring him back if the Jets beat the Texans?
Well, no, because he was.
That bar's not high. We're going
way off the beaten path here. But I just know, to me, the biggest revelation was you and your fiance were friends. For like 5 years,
Steven,
Connor was stuck. Connor was stuck in the friend zone with his fiance, and he had these earrings. And then once he took out the earrings, then she was
all
then she was
happens.
Good. Yeah. Then she was just like, all right, all right,
this guy's
take your
all
shot.
Right.
There you go.
Credit to Connor though, as I compared at the dinner, very Aiden Hutchinson like. Just the motor, incredible motor, just continues to get after the quarterback.
Yes, no kept coming. Just absolutely. Yeah.
Maybe not the quickest first step. Maybe not Micah Parsons quickness, but a hell of a motor.
Eventually wore her down. Yeah. Eventually wore her down.
How about the Roto-World player news?
She seemed tired at dinner. She did seem
tired. She was
tired.
A little
Stephen Flyett, thank you. Roto-World player news for all your player news. Go to NBCSports.com. Here are the notable injuries we are tracking going into not only Thursday Night Football, but the weekend. Dorian Thompson-Robinson with a concussion. He got in a limited practice, but Joe Flacco will be speaking to the media today, which kind of indicates, while he's also been taking the first team reps, it will be another Joe Flacco game for the Browns. Derek Carr gets in a limited practice, which is a little surprising with the status of his concussions and the rib injury. Puka Nacua, he has that AC joint, but he is still practicing in a limited fashion, expected to play. Trevor Lawrence didn't practice with the ankle. Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet still not practicing with their injuries for the Seattle backfield. Mark Cooper did not practice with the rib injury. Isaiah Pacheco was a little bit of a surprise for us. He did not practice with the shoulder.
That came up at the end of yesterday's show, and McKinnon has missed 2 weeks, so it could be the Clyde Edwards-Helaire show on Sunday. We'll track that throughout the week.
Breece Hall dealing with an ankle. He had some DNPs last week as well with the lower body injury, so he's just nursing a couple things. We'll keep an eye on his status. Taysom Hill with foot and hand injuries did not practice as well. So we'll keep an eye on all these going into the weekend, but the ones that you need to know for tonight, if you need to somehow start somebody in this game for tonight.
Oh, boy.
With this much on the line. This is the Thursday Night Football injuries. Kenny Pickett is obviously out of the game with the ankle injury. It'll be the Maserati Mitch show. Najee Harris is questionable with the knee. Ramondre Stevenson with the ankle. He's out. Pop Douglas with a concussion. He's out. Juju dealing with an ankle. He's questionable. Devontae Parker with a knee. Questionable. Basically, if you are a pass catcher for the Patriots, Jay, it's not looking good for you in this game. What is the point total still sitting at 30?
Yeah, it's still sitting at 30. I made the comparison the other day to watching Jets-Falcons. It was like watching Manchester by the Sea for a fourth time. This game tonight is like the second half of Manchester by the Sea when you find out why Casey Affleck is so sad. Anyway, I won't spoil that movie, but this game, fantasy-wise, there's not a lot. We'll get into it later, but I mean, so there's no one who's ranked in the top 20 at their position in this game, right, Matthew? Is that right?
It looks ugly. I guess we'll do a Thursday night preview a little bit later, but I'll just say that you're just, how are they moving the ball? Like on the Patriots side of the ball, I feel like you feel pretty good about the volume Ezekiel Elliott's going to get with Ramondre Stevenson out. And I suppose if I was truly, truly desperate, Devontae Parker with DeMario Douglas out should get a decent amount of looks. But it's not a great matchup against Pittsburgh. And as we've talked about, like, Devontae Parker needs 50-50 balls. He doesn't get open. He doesn't get separation. He needs basically a quarterback that has enough guts to just basically throw it to him and
give him a chance.
Give him a chance, and Parker's going to earn it. And it's Bailey Zappi, you know, in this game on the road at Pittsburgh, going to throw those kind of balls to him. Najee Harris, which we talked about, expected to play tonight, but he's been banged up. He's missed practice all week. I do like Warren tonight as kind of a flex play with upside. Patriots have so far this year, for the most part, struggled against pass-catching running backs. And so if Harris is less than 100%, you can certainly see Warren getting some work and Trubisky chucking it down a little bit. But that's the concern, is that, like, Kenny Pickett's been bad this year. For the most part, Kenny Pickett has been bad. And it's also clear that he's absolutely the best quarterback on the Steelers. Like, when Trubisky has come in, you're like, oh, I see why they didn't want to get away from Pickett.
Right.
Because as bad as Pickett's been, he's significantly an upgrade over Trubisky. So,
yeah. As bad as Trubisky is, though, like, at least, I mean, talking about this yesterday, but he's still a real-life quarterback, whereas like Tim Boyle and Trevor Siemian are not. Like, they're still going to run a real-life offense. This isn't going to be the fantasy land of comically bad drives. So I do think there is some viability, particularly if Freiermuth, Deontay, like, these guys are talented enough. I think they will be okay, but it's going to be uninspiring.
Yeah, the over-under is, like, what, I think it's
30.
Like 30.
Flat. Yeah, it's 30.
Yeah,
there's
it's
no
30
weather.
Flat.
There's
right.
no winds. There's no rain. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All other totals I remember being this low all had some weather element, or like Kendall Hinton playing quarterback.
Right, I was just going to say.
We're not too far from that in some way, honestly.
I have a sneaky suspicion the over hits. Well, yeah, I know.
We'll get to that now preview.
Yeah. No bar to clear. We'll see.
Game.
I just a pick six or something like that, a fumble. Like, there's just, it's going to be a it's, you know, I don't think it goes to 40 or anything like that. But, I mean, 30 is such a low number.
It is low. You can get to that by accident.
Yeah, that's what I sort of think. I don't know.
Stick around. We got our best bets for Thursday Night Football at the end of the show during Last Call. Let's jump into Love Hate, and we will start with the running backs. With Kyren Williams here, Barry. Kyren Williams has been a volume king this year. Comes in as RB3 against the Ravens, who have a good defense, but this is a player that's just having a great fantasy season.
He played against the Cleveland Browns last week, another great defense, and ran all over them. Just massive workload. Again, you're like, well, Kyren Williams is obvious. Like, I'm at running back 3 this week, and in a week in which there's only two teams on a bye, he's my running back 3. Again, you mentioned the workload, right? 94% snap rate last week. He got every running back touch last week except for one. He scored at least one touchdown in 6 of his 7 games so far this year, where he's gotten at least 15 touches. We expect him to get that kind of workload. And running backs who have seen at least 15 touches against the Ravens this season, averaging over 18 fantasy points per game. Again, in games in which Kyren Williams has played this year, he's averaging almost 20 touches per game. So we certainly expect him to get to 15 against the Ravens. My running back 3 this week. It's an unbelievable story fantasy-wise.
Yep, it is. He's a monster. And this Ravens defense, as good as it is, not as good against the rush. Also going to be rain, going to be wind as well. Stafford, I don't think, is set up for success in this game. So I would expect them to lean on the run as much as possible.
Our next one here, Jay, is Zach Moss. Because much like Kyren Williams, when Jonathan Taylor is out, volume king against the Cincinnati defense that looks like a shell of their former self in the last couple weeks.
I think the Bengals might have the worst defense in football. Now, they're particularly bad against the pass, but they're also bad against the run. And I think Zach Moss, it was a disappointing game last week against the Titans, but the Titans have a really solid run defense. And against the Bengals, I think that particularly if the offensive line of the Colts is healthy, and we'll see about that, Braden Smith, their tackle, he left the game against the Titans. Should get an update on him tomorrow. But this is a very favorable matchup for Zach Moss.
Bengals have allowed a rushing touchdown to a running back in 4 straight, and in eight of their past 9. We saw Travis Etienne get in the end zone against them on Monday night as well. And so Zach Moss, again, to your point, the box score production last week for Zach Moss was disappointing. The usage was not. Yeah. 94% of the snaps, 100% of the running back carries in that one. Literally 100%. Do you know what that leaves for everyone else on the team? Zero. I did that math in my head.
Correct.
I don't want to brag, but literally just 100%.
Probably the best, Barry.
You can't do better than that. You can't do better than 100%.
You cannot. And one little sneaky thing about this one, Shane Steichen, yesterday when he was asked about it, the question was phrased as, so Jonathan Taylor missed this week, right? And Steichen was like, we'll see. So, not complete. Now, Taylor's supposed to be out 3 to 5 weeks,
right,
and it's been 1 week.
So,
I would suspect that he's not going to be out, and Steichen's just having a little bit of fun. But, so you didn't rule him out. So
yeah.
And also, he hasn't gone on IR either, so there is some outside chance. Maybe like a 5% chance.
Shane Steichen, what, the stick man?
Yeah, the stick man. Yeah.
The stick man. That's what we're trying to make that work.
It feels like the Brian Daboll, after we saw Saquon Barkley's ankle twist a million times, and he's like, hey, we're not ruling him out yet, guys. Yeah. Let's relax here.
Wouldn't be shocked, though, if Taylor's back maybe the following week.
Right,
this
maybe.
Week could be a little abrupt.
We'll see. Very interesting. And by the way, they haven't ruled, just because we're talking about the Colts, and the Bengals, they're playing the Bengals, and the Bengals, of course, were part of that game where Trevor Lawrence went down last week. Same thing. Like, they're like, Trevor Lawrence is doing everything possible to, like, they haven't ruled him out yet. I don't think he's playing on Sunday, Trevor Lawrence. But
I don't think he is either.
But they are doing the same sort of dance where the media, where they're saying,
I'm guessing.
He's doing 24 hours of, you know, straight therapy, like, you know, whatever.
I think a good bet to make by the way. Lawrence has got no walking boot or anything. It seems like the injury is not that serious. I would expect that he's going to play the following week against Baltimore. And right now the line on that game is Jags +6.5 home to Baltimore on Sunday Night Football. I think that's close to the line if Bethard is playing. But if Lawrence is playing, that game is much lower. That's like a 2-point line in that kind of range. So I think you're better off betting. It's a good bet to bet the Jags right now.
Just a reminder, he did not need a cart, Trevor Lawrence.
Didn't need a cart. Though did in not, retrospect,
he kind said of
he should have got
it.
One.
Yes.
Right. He
should
have gotten a cart, but he did not have one. So,
our next running back, Devon Achane, against the Titans, where with him,
we don't
question the talent with Achane or the productivity at this point. It's just a matter of if he's healthy. And right now, Matthew, he looks healthy.
Dude, he looks nothing short of fantastic. Again, they were blowing my Commanders out from moment one, and they still had no problem giving a ton of work to Devon Achane, or some call him Achane. He's had four different games, just four games where he's gotten double-digit touches in this week, in a game. 21 or more fantasy points in all four games. He's had at least three red zone touches in every one of those games, at least a 14% target share in the three of those games. You like the matchup against Tennessee. Since week 5, they're a bottom 10 run defense. And so in a game in which they're favored by almost 2 touchdowns, the Miami Dolphins, Devon Achane, to me, is a top 10 play. I'm at running back 7 this week. Devon Achane.
Very strange inflection. Yeah,
no, I know. Well, because
it was terrifying.
One of our producers. One of our
explain
producers,
yourself.
I'll tell you. I'm going to, if you'll be quiet for 1 second. One of our producers likes to call him Achane, and so I was having fun with that. His name is Devon Achane, right? But
that's
then
right.
I just I got all tongue-tied.
Yes.
English is my second language.
Yes.
In fairness to me.
After Latin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Everyone knows that I'm fluent in Latin.
Yeah.
I'm fluent in Latin.
Big Latin guy.
Yeah, big
Latin
guy.
Or you put that on producer Damien, who started this ridiculous Achane phenomenon.
But it wasn't a joke at first. I just want
to
make this clear.
That's the real truth.
No, he thought that's how it was pronounced.
Yes.
Which
it
was pretty cool.
No, everyone thought it was Achane, and then after his coming out.
Achane.
Achane.
Yeah.
Devon Achane. And that's how he was referred to at Texas A&M for years and years and years and years.
In the school guide.
Yeah.
The pronunciation guide.
You're right, exactly.
We use these things for the NFL draft.
And then when he comes out and has his first big game as a Dolphin, he's like, no, it's Achane.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was in the Constitution that whenever you light up the Denver Broncos, you get to change your name, which is very unique, but good on him. Good on you, Devon Achane.
Some others receiving votes. James
Cook. I've also been told it's Tyrick Hill.
Tyrick. Yeah. Just wait. See if he lights up the Titans. We have a whole new name.
I don't think you could change this one. James Cook against the Chiefs. Chuba Hubbard against the Saints. Keaton Mitchell against the Rams. And, Jay, with James Cook, I mean, with Joe Brady involved, volume guy for him as well. And we've seen the Chiefs defense be a little hot and cold this year as well.
Yep. They have not been great against the run all season in terms of efficiency. The volume numbers are a little bit disguised because they're the Chiefs and they're leading most of the time. But on a per-play basis, they've been pretty bad against the run. I think Buffalo's going to win this game, guys. The Bills are down to only 1.5-point dogs in Arrowhead, so the market is very bullish on Buffalo. Chiefs team just hasn't looked right for weeks, and I think Cook should be in position to capitalize.
2 games since Brady took over as the coordinator in Buffalo, James Cook is averaging 21 touches a game and a 14% target share. You see Chuba Hubbard there on your screen as well. We've talked about this. No Frank Reich, no Deuce Staley as the running backs coach. They went back to Hubbard as kind of the workhorse. He's now had back-to-back games with 19 touches since week 8. Saints allow a league-high 163 rushing yards per game. And then we talked about Keaton Mitchell out-snapping Gus Edwards the last time we saw the Ravens. He's averaging almost 10 yards per touch. So he comes in at running back 29. I think he's a high upside flex. I'm also facing him this week in a game in which I need to win. I'm in this league where I'm third in points. And I'm like, but I've just had bad luck. I'm most points against in one of those things. And if I don't win this week and I'm playing the one team in the league – there's two teams in the league that have more points than me. I'm playing the one team in the league, one of the highest scoring team in the league. And so if I lose this game, I'm out of the playoffs despite having the third highest point total in the league. He's got Keaton Mitchell, the guy I'm playing. So you know he's going off.
Feels like
he's
an 80 yard.
He's going to have a monster game against me. I'm just telling you. That's how it's gone for me. I lost Mark Andrews and Anthony Richardson in this league. It's a super flex league. It's a deep, you know, deep 12 team super flex league. Anyway, it's very annoying. Very upsetting. So just so you know, Keaton Mitchell's going off because I need him to have a bad game.
Noted.
And he's not going to.
Noted pessimist, Matthew Berry.
Yes. I'm just...
Do you go into every matchup thinking that the worst is going to happen, or you're even keel, or you're positive?
No, I'm a Jew. What do you... I mean, come on. It's built into my DNA.
So because you're Jewish, Keaton Mitchell's going to go off.
Yes! Okay. Obviously.
It's funny how that works.
Obviously, yes. Do I assume the worst? Of course I do.
Okay.
Absolutely. Well, come on.
Speaking of assuming the worst, the hate list, DeAndre Swift.
Like, it's built into my DNA.
DeAndre Swift touches down against San Francisco. We saw him leave that game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, they get a little extra rest here. But DeAndre Swift not in your top 20 running backs this week, Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, like, we don't know if he's 100% healthy or not. He's obviously on Sunday Night Football against the Cowboys on Peacock and NBC. I'm a company man. But he played on only 42% of the offensive snaps last week. Now, some of that was because he got banged up towards the end of the game, but also they were trailing. And they're using Kenneth Gainwell on passing downs, and that's the concern. So Swift, who just hasn't been involved in the passing game lately, even in games in which the Eagles were winning, that's a concern. They're on the road at Dallas where they are underdogs here as well. Cowboys defense, really good.
Yeah.
Really good. They allow 3.7 yards per carry to running backs. They've only allowed 3 running backs this entire season to get over 80 yards from scrimmage. So with Swift, basically, you're hoping he falls into the end zone. And there's always a chance at that. But because you're dealing with Jalen Hurts and the brotherly shove is literally like the most effective play in football, like a success rate of like, you know, 99%, it's hard to see Swift, you know, feeling great about his chances of getting into the end zone here. So I'm at running back 22 in a week in which, again, only 2 teams are on a bye.
Yep, and last time he played Dallas, which was only a few weeks ago, so I think that's relevant in terms of the discussion. 18 carries, but only 43 yards on the ground, 2.4 yards per carry. I'm not sure why that would change their inability to create gaps for him on the offensive line, given the Dallas of the team with extra rest. He was only targeted twice in that game as a receiver, so just not going great for DeAndre Swift. Also, the Eagles just could not do anything on the ground against San Francisco. Their offensive line hasn't been the same dominant run game when, you know, there were memes in the Minnesota-Philadelphia game early in the season where, you know, DeAndre Swift was running through holes that, you know, the three of us could run through. But, yeah, it's just not working. The other thing, too, there's just such a strange phenomenon about watching Eagles games where as soon as they get to the 2-yard line, you just know that, all right, well, let's just fast forward because this is over. And it doesn't help DeAndre Swift. It's just all Jalen Hurts. So
the other thing is that the line is 3.5. Cowboys are favored by 3.5. And I feel like there's no chance that line hits. I feel like either the Eagles win this one because their backs are against the wall and they want to show everyone, you know, hey, what happened last week against San Francisco, or they get blown out here. I mean, because the Eagles' defense isn't any good, and the Cowboys' offense is running on all cylinders. I mean, the Cowboys' offense looks as good as I've seen that offense look in years. They are, and so... Given the struggles of the Eagles' defense, this game is at home. Dak and CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks and Jake Ferguson, like, that whole offense is really rolling. Like, so I could see a scenario where the Eagles are down 10 in this game, they're down 14 or whatever, and all of a sudden they're in, you know, pass-first, catch-up mode, and then it's a lot of Gainwell.
Yep. So the total in this game is 52, which is almost double the total of tonight's game. And look, I would be stunned if the Eagles were able to slow down Dallas. Like, Dak is just playing too well right now. That secondary has been too bad for so long in Philadelphia. I don't think the Cowboys are going to slow down the Eagles that much, but there is the chance that the Cowboys defense could just ball out, Parsons and Lawrence go off. So certainly you don't think game script is going to go in Philly's favor.
All right, next up on the hate list, Najee Harris for tonight's game, Thursday Night Football. Jay, Najee comes in as RB.
The thing is, I'm interrupting. Whatever. Doesn't matter. We're off the rails anyway. But back to that game for 1 second, real quickly. The other thing is like, are we sure the Eagles are really good? And here's what I mean by that. Like, think about the quote, the games they played against good teams. Like, they barely beat the Chiefs. Are we sure the Chiefs are a good team? Like, they barely beat the Bills.
They should have lost to both of those.
They should have, right, exactly. And I'm just saying, like, the Bills are, I don't think we're convinced the Bills are a good team, right? And then, again, the Chiefs getting dominated by the Packers last week. Those are two flawed teams, the Chiefs and the Bills. And to your point, right, the Eagles easily could have lost both those games. A couple of calls went against them against the Cowboys. Cowboys easily could have won the game they played.
My biggest concern for the Eagles is that they didn't blow out the Commanders either time. They didn't blow out New England. They're not destroying teams. Last year, they were destroying teams,
right,
and it was comical. This year, they just haven't reached the same level. I'm not sure how much of that is Jalen Hurts, how much of that is guys in the secondary is getting old. Their linebackers have been a mess. We'll see if Shaq Leonard fixes that. But no, I don't think they're one of the two or three best teams in the NFL right now.
We'll get more into that matchup during the quarterback love list as well. But Najee Harris here, Jay, makes him in the top 30 running backs. He's RB27. But New England's run defense has been stout, and Najee comes into this game banged up.
So I'm not sure how this has happened, but on an efficiency play-by-play basis, New England have the best run defense in the NFL. So I don't know how it's happened, but that's where we are at the moment. Najee's banged up, expected to play, but he's on the injury report. You would expect they're going to lean on Jaylen Warren. If he's banged up on a short week and Warren is full go health-wise, then why wouldn't they just lean on Warren? The total is 30. There's not going to be that many points in this game.
Over the last 4 weeks, no team in the NFL has allowed fewer fantasy points per game to opposing running backs than the New England Patriots. Since week six, only one running back has scored even 15 fantasy points against the Patriots. We think Jaylen Warren's the better running back, honestly. Like, even with all things being equal, now you've got Harris, who hasn't practiced all week. He's going to be active tonight, but you just don't feel great about his chances in a bad matchup, less than healthy. He comes in at running back 27 for me. Feels like he could re-injure himself. He could just be out there for insurance. They don't want to pass that much in this one, but yeah, in a low-scoring, ugly game, just he's a touchdown-dependent low-end flex.
Our last running back, Alexander Mattison, against Las Vegas. I feel like he has some real estate on the hate list at this point. Alexander Mattison comes in as
RB32.
Not personal.
Yeah. I promise you it's not personal here.
RB32 this week, Barry, against Vegas team that you think the Minnesota offense could take advantage of a little bit.
I think so, but I think they'll take advantage of it through the air as well. Like, first off, like, Ty Chandler has become a thing for this Vikings offense. Six straight games now for Mattison where he's handled below 60% of the team's rushes. Remember, Josh Dobbs always a threat to take it and run it himself. Last 4 weeks, Raiders top five in the NFL in terms of fewest yards per carry allowed to opposing running backs. So Mattison in this game, just he's in a timeshare in a game in which we think the Vikings will move the ball through the air. They get Justin Jefferson back in this one. They're going to want to throw to him as well. And so, I don't know, like, Madison's not really involved in the passing game either. So, yeah, I mean, I'm at running back 32.
It's been 6 weeks since he's had more than two targets in the passing game. He's fumbled each of the past two games as well. Now, I do think Jefferson coming back will help their running game a little bit just in terms of the space, but it just doesn't seem like there's a great deal of ceiling for Madison at the moment.
This holiday season, get the Fantasy Fan in your life, the exclusive Roto-World Draft Guide bundle featuring expert analytics, player insights, and season-long tools. Get all three of the draft guides for one low price. Go to NBCSports.com/holiday bundle and use code HOLIDAY23 at checkout to receive 25% off and a $10 Fanatics gift card. We're taking our first break. When we're back, love-hate continues with the pass catchers and quarterbacks.
Just, you know, that's what I bought each of you guys.
Oh, thank you
for the
so
holidays.
Much.
Well, you guys are the sports fans
that's
of my life.
Yeah.
Fantasy Fanatics.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Heads up, we have a special edition of Fantasy Football Pregame on Saturday, December 23rd, live from 1 to 3. Barry, Jay, and Lawrence will be previewing the Christmas weekend slate leading into Football Night in America. Tweet us, as always, using the hashtag FFPregame. We continue on with love-hate as we get into the pass catchers led by Mike Evans against the Falcons this weekend. Barry, we saw A.J. Terrell get hurt against the Jets last week. And Mike Evans, it really doesn't matter who he plays.
No,
he is Mr. Consistent, 10 straight seasons to begin his NFL career with 1,000 yards. He comes in as a top 10 wide receiver for you this week.
He's been nothing short of phenomenal, especially the last 4 weeks where, you know, I tell my daughters, find someone who looks at you the way that Baker Mayfield looks at Mike Evans. Over the last 4 weeks, he's got a 33% target share with a 16.2 average depth of target. He's gotten at least four deep targets in every single game. Falcons tied for the second most touchdowns allowed on deep passes. Mike Evans, you see it there on your screen. He's my wide receiver 9 this week. He's been nothing short of phenomenal on his way to a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, the Falcons are in trouble in this one. To your point about A.J. Terrell, you mentioned this on Monday, the replacement there, Clark Phillips III, he's 5'9".
Yeah.
So he's not going to be able to cover Mike Evans, you would expect. Now, Terrell did go through limited practice, but he's in the concussion protocol. We'll see if he's able to go. Nate Landman as well, who's been their best linebacker this year, he is injured too. Not sure if he is going to play. The line, based on the Falcons injury report, the line moved from Falcons minus 2.5 to Falcons minus 1, which tells you that they are in trouble on defense. And Evans, who's wide receiver 8 on the season, should be able to benefit.
Our next one, Jay, DJ Moore. We've talked a lot on this show about how bad the Lions defense has been. They can't stop anyone right now. And Moore's season has been pretty simple. When Justin Fields has been healthy, Moore's had some monster performances with Fields under center.
He has. And this Lions defense at the moment, I mean, they just have no prayer at all. Alan McNeil, he goes down.
Yep,
he's on IR.
Yeah.
He's in trouble. He's their best interior defensive lineman. And I think that this Lions defense now, like outside Aiden Hutchinson and maybe Brian Branch, who's an above average player
The
defense? I don't think there's anyone. And they're just getting lit up time and time again. But they have 21-0 against the Saints, and that all of a sudden, that was a game. They really could have lost that game because they just cannot stop anyone through the air. We've seen what Justin Fields was able to do to them just a few weeks ago in a game that the Bears really should have won in Detroit. So DJ Moore should be in for a massive day.
40% target share in the two games since Justin Fields returned. 22 or more fantasy points in the four full games he's played with Fields under center. And it's worth noting that wide receivers who see at least 7 targets against the Lions are averaging 17 points per game. 7 targets or more against the Lions, you're averaging 17 points. Again, he's got a 40% target share. He's wide receiver 13 for me this week, and that might be too low.
All right, DJ Moore, wide receiver 13, and right behind him, Chris Olave at wide receiver 14 here, Barry, against the Carolina Panthers. Now, we don't know the exact status of New Orleans at quarterback going into this game, but honestly, does it matter?
No, it does not. He's produced with Derek Carr. He's produced with Jameis Winston. It doesn't matter who's throwing him the ball. Even Taysom Hill will get the ball to Chris Olave. 4 straight games where he's averaged over 2 fantasy points per target, which is just kind of an insane rate. With Jameis Winston this season, a 37% target share. So, but if Derek Carr plays, obviously he's been producing, had a big game last week as well. Panthers are bottom 8 in the NFL in terms of completion rate allowed on deep passes. Olave gets multiple deep looks every single game. So, yeah, give me Chris Olave as a top 14 play this week at home
against the Panthers.
So funny with Jameis. That tipped ball, that's right. Like Jameis in original. That was going straight to Jerry Jacobs, right, for a pick. Instead, it gets tipped.
A pick six, probably.
Yeah, Olave gets the big gain. But if it's Derek Carr, great, because I think he's a better quarterback than Jameis. If it's Jameis, great, because he throws deep a ton. Olave feeds on deep ball. So Olave should, just through volume alone, should have a massive
You know what's
day.
Weird about Derek Carr, though, is the... And I'm now going to a football discussion. We'll get back to fantasy in 1 second here. But all the conversation last year about Tua, yeah. And no one's talking about Derek Carr. Like, this is his second concussion, right?
Yep.
And it's like, you know what I mean? And, like, there was real concern, rightfully so, about Tua last year because of all the concussions he suffered. And no one cared. I don't know if it's because when it happened to Tua, it was on the national game.
I think that's
what it was. And
it's
just
also,
like,
honestly, it's because Derek Carr doesn't have Tyreek Hill and Mike McDaniel on his team. And no one thinks about the Saints. No one talks about them at all. But it is serious. And this guy's getting injured in like 50% of his games this year. He's taking an absolute
head
beating.
Head to toe. It's awful.
What is he? Is he on the injury report with a back, shoulder, and a concussion?
Yeah, it's awful.
Like, at some point, I mean, yeah, it is a bit scary.
It's awful. So anyway, we're rooting for Derek Carr here as well. By all accounts, just an awesome human being. But it's just a weird one that, like, I just feel like no one's talking about that. And last year, all they talked about was with Tua.
Yep.
And it's kind of a similar situation in that, you know, there's some concern there. Anyway.
Our final pass catcher locked into the love list, Jake Ferguson. He's on a big-time touchdown stretch here, Barry, and we talked about just how much confidence we have in Dallas' passing attack right now.
Yeah, especially when they play tight end and they're facing the Eagles.
Yeah.
I've said it a million times. Death Texas, start your tight ends against the Eagles, including Jake Ferguson in Week 9 when he faced the same Philly team, and he went 7 receptions, 91 yards, and a touchdown. He got 10 targets in that one. Look, tight ends who see at least 5 targets against the Eagles this year are averaging over 16 points per game. 5 of the 7 of them have scored a touchdown in this one. And so Jake Ferguson, who leads all tight ends in the NFL with 20 red zone targets, he's got 6 more than anyone else. Like, when they get in close, Dak Prescott likes to look for big Jake Ferguson, who scored in 4 of his past 6. Including the last time he faced the Eagles. He's a top 5 play for me this week. All in on Jake Ferguson.
Yep. And the Eagles, here's how bad they're doing at linebacker. So Christian Ellis, he started the game at linebacker in their biggest game of the season against the Niners. He's just been waived. So that's how they're doing. And Shaq Leonard has come in there, but like, Shaq Leonard's not the guy that he was 3 years ago in Indianapolis. There is a reason he was available this late in the season, struggling in coverage. So I think that Jake Ferguson should go off.
By the way, here's how bad the Eagles linebackers are, and just here's how down bad they are in the defense. Penn State Blake didn't fight us with any stats. And sometimes when we're like, we'll talk about this, we'll be like, hey, you know, like, hey.
But, you know.
Well, no. He starts like defending him because he's a diehard Eagles fan. Penn State Blake will start being like, well, no. Well, there's this. And this guy's coming back. And I don't think you understand. And now this time he's just like, yeah.
Jake Ferguson, fire him up.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Now, Zach Cunningham will be back and that'll help a bit. But yeah, they're still in trouble.
And on the other side of this, Dallas Goedert will return. So a big time tight end game.
That helps, and certainly, I mean, it's one of the reasons why I moved Devontae Smith down in my ranks. And so it's great to have Dallas Goedert back. I think you've been holding on to him. I think you start him like he's a top 10 tight end as soon as he's active for this game here. But that's a concern. Devontae Smith now more of a wide receiver 3 than the wide receiver, you know, the top 15 guy he's been the last couple of weeks with Goedert out.
Some others receiving votes, both Rashee Rice and Gabe Davis in that Buffalo-Kansas City game. Jackson Smith and Jigba makes the list. He's had a really nice second half of the season so far. Elijah Moore, we know the deal. If Joe Flacco is playing, you could start Elijah Moore. Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson is out. Keep an eye on that. Isaiah Likely against the Rams and Gerald Everett against the Broncos here, Matthew.
Yeah, just to whip through quickly on these, you know, Rice has now had back-to-back games with over a 30% target share with at least 8 receptions in both. Buffalo allows the second highest catch rate to wide receivers. Gabe Davis also inside my top 30 as well. Season highs in end zone targets and deep targets against the Eagles in week 12. Kansas City bottom 10 in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers over the last 4. JSN, we've talked about him a lot on this show, but continues to improve. Should have had an even bigger game the last time we saw him. Tough drop there in the end zone, but 11 targets last week with a 29% target share in a game in which the Seahawks are double-digit underdogs to the Niners. Elijah Moore, he's on there. If Flacco starts, you're starting Elijah Moore, especially with, by the way, Amari Cooper missed practice again today. Still in the concussion protocol. No you know, no guarantee that Amari Cooper suits up for the Browns on Sunday. You mentioned Dontayvion Wicks. Six straight games with a double-digit target share for Wicks, and especially if Watson is out, you like him against the Giants, who over the last 4 weeks allow the most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. Isaiah Likely, nice matchup against the Rams. Seven of the 11 tight ends who have seen at least four targets against L.A. have scored double-digit fantasy points. And then Gerald Everett. Look, Broncos, second most yards and fantasy points to tight ends this season. We were talking about in the break, Brandon Staley saying, hey, there's going to be competition at the running back position. The truth of the matter is, we all love Austin Eckler. He's a friend of the show. He's a friend of fantasy. He's an investor in my company. You won't find a bigger Austin Eckler fan than me, other than maybe Mama Eckler. But the fact is, the production hasn't been there. Austin Eckler, the fantasy manager, would admit Austin Eckler, the football player, hasn't been producing at the high enough level that he would want. My point of bringing all that up is like, they need somebody to do something. It can't all be Keenan Allen. They're getting nothing out of their run game. So here's Gerald Everett, who has at least four receptions and 40 yards in both games since he came back from the injury. Nice matchup against a Broncos team that's top two in the NFL in terms of most yards and fantasy points allowed to opposing tight ends.
All right, we move over to the hate list for pass catchers here. We talked a lot about Adam Thielen yesterday on Keep It Open or Close It Out, but where does he end up coming in on your rankings this week, Barry?
Wide receiver 31. Again, since week 8, he's the 48th best wide receiver on a points-per-game basis. Carolina has a bottom five implied team total this week. Don't see a lot of scoring. Feels like what little passing they've been doing is going to Jonathan Mingo these days.
Jay, our next one, T. Higgins. He's got the Colts. Comes in as wide receiver 32 for Barry. Well, Jamar Chase has been fine with Jake Browning. You can't say the same thing about T. Higgins right now.
No, you can't. He gets a tough matchup against the Colts. Now, the Colts don't have great corners, but they do have an excellent pass rush. And against Cincy's O-line, which is suspect, I think that Jake Browning will have a tough time. And T. Higgins, who just wasn't involved last game really at all, I think he may struggle.
Colts allow passing touchdowns at the sixth lowest rate in the NFL. I'm also not crazy about Deontay Johnson against the Patriots tonight because I'm not crazy about anyone in this game as well. But look, since week 8, the Patriots are the number one scoring defense in the NFL. We've talked about this over-under being only 30. We're not exactly excited about any offense in this one. Four straight games now with under 50 receiving yards for Deontay Johnson with four or fewer receptions in both those. So what you're really hoping for, if the volume hasn't been there, and I don't know that he's going to get there with Trubisky, if the volume's not there, is he going to get into the end zone in a game with an implied team total, you know, of like, what is it, like 16 for the Steelers?
Yeah, 18 to 12. Like, if it's 30 points and the line is 6, 18, 12, it's not great.
Yeah, I mean, right, exactly. So you're just, you know, I don't know. I have Deontay Johnson as wide receiver 39. Not crazy about the Mitch Trubisky experience tonight.
We close out Love Hate, of course, with the quarterbacks. And, Jay, who better to start with than Dak Prescott? We have been talking about this Eagles-Cowboys game a ton, and rightly so. And with that Eagles secondary, this is looking real good for Dak, who's had little problems this year against every secondary, it feels like.
He's been the best quarterback in the NFL for the past 2 months. I don't think there's any way around that. And this is, again, talk about pass funnels, run funnels. The Eagles are a pass funnel. Their run defense is solid. Their pass defense has been terrible. And now you get Dak, who's been rolling, and they are throwing the ball more. I don't think people have criticized Dak because he hasn't beaten a team that has a winning record right now. But, I mean, he's done this. The Seattle defense is perfectly solid, and he absolutely lit them up. Seattle's got a better defense in the pass game than Philadelphia do right now. So I just think he's unstoppable right now, and he will get his fair share against the Eagles.
To your point, just to give some stats to what you were saying right there, Jay, four of the past five quarterbacks to face the Eagles have scored at least 28 fantasy points. They've allowed at least 300 passing yards in four of the past five games as well. So Dak Prescott, literally my number one quarterback in fantasy this week.
All right, Justin Fields is next up against that Lions defense. Justin Fields comes in as QB6 for you, Barry. We know he can run on this Lions defense as well when he's not throwing to DJ Moore.
He's had at least 100 rushing yards. Think about how crazy a stat this is. The last three games, dating back to last year, last three games he's played against Detroit, Justin Fields has a minimum of 100 rushing yards. At least 100 rushing yards in all three games for a quarterback against the same opponent. In the two games that he's had since he's returned from injury, he's had 30 rush attempts in the two games. And 73% of this is the most important thing. 73% of those 30 rushing attempts have been design runs. This isn't scrambling. This isn't the offensive line breaking down and Fields running for his life. This is now a big part of the offense. Over the last 4 weeks, only one team in the NFL gives up more fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks than your Detroit Lions. So, Justin Fields, we talked about how bad that Lions defense is when we were talking up DJ Moore. Jay, this is a really nice matchup for Fields. Comes in at QB6 for me.
Yep, and he played them 2 games ago, and he went 18 for 104 on the ground. He's really efficient through the air. I don't know what on earth they were trying to do against Minnesota, just throwing screen passes every single play. Presumably, they'll run real plays against Detroit because you can exploit that defense down the field.
All right, our next one here, Tua Tagovailoa. Miami has the highest implied team total this week, Jay, with Tyreek, Waddle, the whole offense. I mean, this is easy pickings for Tua against a Tennessee team that we heard Mike Vrabel yesterday. We played some sound. He's just going through it this year.
Yeah, it's been a tough year for the Titans. This is a dream matchup for the Dolphins in primetime Monday Night Football. And again, this is a team. This is a Tennessee defense that's really solid against the run and atrocious against the pass. So what Gardner Minshew, of all people, did to them last week, I think Tua and Tyreek should go off on Monday Night Football.
All right, how about a couple others receiving votes here? The resurgent Jordan Love. He has been phenomenal for about a month now. He's got the Giants. I think the only worry there, guys, is if the Giants can't get anything going, is Green Bay going to beat in run mode the second half? But very confident in Jordan Love. Joshua Dobbs, Dobby against the Raiders. He comes in as a top 15 play here, Barry. Then right outside the top 15, Jake Browning against the Colts if you're in a desperation streaming spot at QB16.
Yeah, 100% on Browning. Like, again, this is just, hey, if you're desperate, he's QB16. We're not going crazy here, but he should be okay against the Colts. Like, in week 13, he had the fourth highest QBR. Like, anytime you can get the ball to Ja'Marr Chase and let him do stuff, when you throw a bubble screen to Ja'Marr Chase and he runs 50 yards,
that counts
for Jake Browning. Also a little bit more mobile than I think he gets credit for. Josh Dobbs, over the past 4 weeks, Raiders allow almost 300 passing yards per game, third most in the NFL. And over the last weeks, Jordan Love has been the fifth best quarterback in fantasy football. Since week 10, Giants second worst in the NFL in pressure rate. Love should have a clean pocket to deal from.
For the Hateless, headlined by C.J. Stroud, still comes in as a top 15 quarterback, but two really bad breaks here, Jay, for Stroud. He loses Tank Dell last weekend, and then what does he get the next weekend? The New York Jets secondary.
Yep, and this is the sneaky thing with Stroud. Look, I think Stroud is incredible. I think he's already a top 10 quarterback real life in the NFL right now, but he doesn't really have to play that many great defenses. The only time it really happened was against Baltimore in week 1, and, I mean, it's the first game of his career, so what? But he didn't play well in that. He really struggled against the Saints. He's lit up bad defenses like the Bengals, the Cardinals, these types of teams. And so I think where there's weather forecast for Sunday in East Rutherford going up against a Jets defense that is arguably the best in football, I think he's going to be in a bit of trouble here. And the thing with Stroud, too, he's taken 9 sacks his past 2 games, and that's against Denver and Jacksonville pass rushers that are not great. So I think Stroud's going to be in some trouble on Sunday.
Yeah, I have a QB12 this week, but that's the lowest I've had Stroud in quite some time. Jets have allowed multiple touchdown passes only once in their last 7
it's
games.
Insane.
I mean, right, and they've played Tua. I mean, like,
right.
I mean, like, they've, it's not like,
seen
it's
Josh Allen twice, right, seen Jalen Hurts, seen Pat Mahomes.
I mean, thank you. Exactly. Only 3 quarterbacks have thrown for even 250 yards against the Jets this season. And so in games in which Tank Dell has missed or played less than 50% of the snaps, C.J. Stroud is averaging just 13.8 fantasy points per game. So in his first game without Tank Dell against the Jets, you have to lower expectations here for C.J. Stroud.
Finally, our last one, Baker Mayfield, just makes the top 20 quarterbacks, QB19 for a Tampa Bay team that at times they can get a little fixated on the run here, Matthew.
Yeah, and Baker Mayfield has actually been good for fantasy, even though it's been an up-and-down season for Tampa. Baker Mayfield's been usable for fantasy, but I don't know that this is a week you want to use him. He's had 30 or fewer pass attempts in 4 of the past 5 games. The implied team total for the Bucs is just 18 in this one as well. And when Tampa Bay scores fewer than 20 points, again, their implied team total is 18. When the Buccaneers score fewer than 20 points, Baker Mayfield averages just 13 fantasy points per game. So just probably not the week you want Baker.
Yeah, and also, like, he hasn't thrown for 300 yards since week 2. And this team has been trailing a lot. So it's just not a high-octane offense.
We're taking our last break. When we're back, it's time for Last Call. We're going to somehow find prop bets for Thursday Night Football, Patriots-Steelers. I promise you, we're going to find them right after this.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $150 in bonus bets instantly, plus all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code Barry when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. It is time for Last Call. Let's take a look at our most bet player props, courtesy of our friends at DraftKings. Deontay Johnson receptions over 3.5. That's at minus 195 now. George Pickens receptions under 3.5. That's at minus 150. Bailey Zappe passing touchdowns over 0.5. Just got to throw one there, Bailey Zappe. Minus 120. No given feet. Mitchell Trubisky, interceptions thrown over 0.5. That's minus 145. Pat Freiermuth, receptions over 2.5. That's minus 160. Jay, the public, not very bold with these bets, I would say.
No, but credit to the public for continuing to back overs in this game. The most underish game ever. My best bet in this one, that's a little wonky, a little fiery, but Bailey Zappe to throw for 225-plus passing yards. It's plus 750. He's an NFL quarterback. There's no weather in the game, and I understand that it's Bailey Zappe, and he's not likely going to reach this, but there is still enough variance and enough unknowns about him that no NFL quarterback who is starting, and is not Kendall Hinton, they should not be plus 750 to throw for 225 yards in a game with no weather. And the Steelers have a decent defense, but it's not all world. And Zappe, in one of his few starts in his career, last year he threw for 309 yards against the Browns. So I think that he can get there. 225.
You just need like a broken tackle and somebody to run, you know, 50 yards. Yeah.
You just need him to have like an average NFL game for a quarterback. Like, is he plus 750 to have an average NFL game? Like, I don't think so. I think he can hit this.
So, again, in the most underish game ever, I'm taking an over as well. But here's the over I'm taking. Ezekiel Elliott, over 15.5 rushing attempts. Now, Ramondre Stevenson in this one as well. Again, one of the ways that you don't have to have Bailey Zappe throw the ball is if you hand it off. Patriots have had at least 25 running back rushes in 3 straight games.
That's what they do.
Again, it's what they do. No Ramondre Stevenson in this one as well. 6 of the 7 teams to face the Steelers this year have had at least 22 running back carries. It's 15.5 for Ezekiel Elliott in a game in which we don't think the Steelers blow them out. So they should be able to run. They may all be for 2.8 yards per carry, but I think Ezekiel Elliott goes over 15.5 carries tonight.
To cap it all off, in the most underish game ever, I'm going over for Pat Freiermuth receiving yards. It's just 27.5. He's been more involved, especially since they got rid of Matt Canada. Trubisky really can't see the outside of the numbers. He's not an outside of the numbers thrower.
I would have gone with whatever came after that.
Anything. I don't think he's going to take a lot of chances outside the numbers. I think he's going to look in the middle of the field to Freiermuth. This might be a game where Freiermuth catches 5 passes for 40 yards, and it doesn't seem like it matters, but that's a low line, even in this game.
Yeah. I like that Mike Tomlin said a couple of days ago that Mitch Trubisky, the reason he has confidence in him is that he was once a franchise quarterback. Yeah, in like 2017.
Yes.
Like, it's for a
long
way.
And it went horribly
for
that
franchise
team.
Quarterback, does it mean like, yes, he was the quarterback for a franchise?
Yes. So what,
there was 32 the franchises in the
NFL.
3
pick in the draft or whatever.
Right. There were 32 quarterbacks. Yes. Yeah.
He never lived up to being a franchise quarterback. But a team did make
it. He was drafted to be one.
Yes.
Right, exactly. But he wasn't actually one. Other
than
the fact
Christian Ponder was drafted to be a franchise quarterback.
Sure. So was Tim Tebow. A couple of quick injury updates that have come in since the commercial break. Breece Hall not practicing this week. This is from Rich Cimini. Rich Cimini, who says Breece Hall and John Franklin Myers, by the way, both with ankle injuries, not practicing. They're in the rehab area. This could be a Dalvin Cook week.
That is from Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for ESPN, does a really good job there. And, oh, by the way, Isaiah Pacheco not practicing again today. This could be a Clyde Edwards-Helaire and potentially Jerick McKinnon if they get him back this week. But I am I'm officially starting to be nervous about Pacheco's availability this Sunday against the Bills.
Any other sneaky running back candidates on the Jets who aren't Dalvin Cook who could get some run in this one?
I mean, Izzy Abanikanda, the rookie, they just haven't given him a chance. He's been active plenty of times. He's probably, when Breece goes down, the most talented runner on the team. I mean, he had 1,400 yards and 20 touchdowns for Pitt last year. They don't play him.
But, you know, for an organization that went with Tim Boyle for a game and a half too long, would he suddenly leapfrog Dalvin Cook, or would it just basically be the same workload, but instead of Hall and Cook, it would be Cook and Izzy?
Yeah, he won't get any pass game work. He'll get 5 to 6 carries, and the rest all will go to Cook.
Maybe some Bam Knight potential for Izzy to have a moment.
Yeah, he's been like long
Bam
gone.
Long Bam Knight's a lion. Yes. But,
Bam Knight.
Yes. Well, by the way, Dalvin Cook's probably out there in a lot of leagues if you're desperate for a running back. All right, it's closing time. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. For all the dads, Brads, and Chads, plus Jane Connor, I'm Matthew. We will see you tomorrow. Enjoy Love Hate on NBCSports.com. Peace out.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.